All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Old Moon Podcast, episode 55. Right?
59. It rhymes.
It's yeah.
Close enough.
So close. So close. All right. I am Blue Squadron, your host, joined as always with my co-host, Jaycoon.
Hi, my name is Jaycoon. I'm an Awakening Wisdom Aim with 765 gear score. I do a lot of endgame PvE content, such as Olens, the dungeons. I'm currently finishing off my last two Marnie zones for the greatest Marnie's assistant title, and you can find me over at twitch.tv/JaycoonVTV before the T.
That's right. And our boy Blonde Bear, who just loves intros. He's so good at them.
Hello, I'm Blonde Bear, and I like to party. You can catch me at twitch.tv/BlondeBear, where I party grind Olens and other spots. We've been at normal Olens for a while, and I think we're going to be going to Dekia Olens now that the demo rings are coming.
The rings, yeah.
We're going back.
Yeah, we do have the rings coming. Honestly, a lot of big announcements on the Global Labs. The first of which that, honestly, the biggest one that was certainly announced is the DR and Evasion rework. So I kind of want to lead off the discussion with that. So I'm curious. So for those of you that don't know, damage reduction and evasion are being reworked. The way this used to work is that damage reduction in Black Desert meant that you were 100% going to be hit by the skill. It's just that every single hit of that skill was going to do less damage. The way evasion typically worked was that, well, you had a percent chance for them to miss the skill entirely, and if you didn't get hit, you didn't get hit at all, but if you did get hit, you were taking the full damage. So this was kind of like the core concept behind DR and evasion, basically since the game was created. But the developers seem to want to go in a different direction with it now. Now, the way they have described DR is exactly the same as it was before. So basically, you know, you're going to take less damage per hit. Now, they're lessening the hits on every single skill in the game, and they realize that this, if they don't retouch evasion, will basically super buff evasion, right? So, like, they have to do something with evasion to kind of fix it and make it work with this new system, so everyone's going to have less hits on their skills, which, to be honest with you, is good. It should help with lag in the game for sure. It should also definitely help with durability on your weapon. Should probably not degrade nearly as frequently, which makes the tent a little less crucial, and that your weapon's breaking less when you're grinding. But like, there's a lot of implications that go into that. But the new way they have described evasion, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, Blonde and Jay, is essentially you're going to get hit. It's just depending on how much evasion you have, it will be for less, which sounds an awful lot like DR. If I'm being honest, like I'm curious, like that means, like, to me, I was like, well, wait, that means it's just DR then. What's going on here? So honestly, let's discuss this a little bit. Jay, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so I think an easy way to sort of think about it is because they worded it as, you know, evasion is going to be reducing the damage based on the relationship of accuracy. So if that's the way it is, you can think of it as like, oh, if evasion is damage reduced based on the relationship of accuracy of your opponent, then DR is damage reduced based on accuracy of the relationship between your opponent's AP. So it's kind of like that. And yeah, it's, in a way, it's kind of like working like DR. So I think it's never a bad thing to work on improving the game's performance and stability. I find it hard not to get behind something that can improve server performance and game performance. But at the same time, you know, these changes are definitely going to be something that many players are concerned about, since it will, you know, really drastically change the way damage formulas and perhaps even like a meta shift and stuff. And so one more thing I want to note is that, you know, all these changes are still in progress. So, you know, I really encourage people to wait and see what the numbers are and how they feel before finishing their conclusion of BDO as a whole. Because I had a viewer the other day commenting and venting about how, you know, these changes, you know, so bad for the game, it's garbage, blah blah blah, and that certain classes are going to be stronger, busted, speaking as if they already knew the future of the game. And, you know, I try my best to make them understand that, you know, there's not enough information yet, you know, can't really say for sure how it's going to pan out, you know, whether it's for better or for worse. And so I encourage them to be patient, and I encourage you guys to be patient as well. I mean, your feedback is, you know, during this time when they do release the numbers, right, your feedback is going to be the most critical during that point. And I'm sure the devs would appreciate, like, good feedback than people dooming, you know, et cetera.
People are always gonna doom. In this case, I'm really not sure that this is necessarily the way to go. With it, really? I'm not trying to be like the doomer, but like also, this is kind of. If you were gonna go this way, and this is gonna sound crazy, but why not just eliminate the build path altogether and make everybody DR? Like, I hate to be that guy, but like if you're literally just making DR essentially equivalent with evasion in terms of how it works, why have the system be overcomplicated at all? Why not just make it one system and then like certain classes feel tankier? Like, I don't know. Like, this kind of path just doesn't make sense to me. Blonde, how do you feel about it?
So when we talk about the DR evasion rework, the first thing you have to look into is like the stage before that, which is the hit manipulation, right? We're looking at them reducing overall how many hits each ability has, and I think those kind of things go in tandem. Like, I don't think we necessarily need the DR evasion rework if we didn't get the amount of hits being reduced. So I think we should look at it from like that being the first stage. Them realizing that the amount of hits or the amount of, like, I mean, there were, I remember reports, and Jay will remember this, where people were saying that a Shy having on-hit HP regen at Olin's would literally cause FPS lag because the amount of hits they were healing from, because every tick, because they have 50 plus hits on their abilities. So I think that when you look at it from a perspective, we're looking at reducing the hits so we can reduce in-game lag, so that this means that any PvE activity, any PvP activity, node wars, sieges, anything that's requiring a bunch of players hitting each other and causing that sort of, it's not your ISP lag, it's literally server lag, and you know, they've talked about upgrading servers and other things. I think once they've realized it's that, they want to reduce the amount of hits, and obviously in reducing the amount of hits, everybody immediately went panic mode about, you know, DR and evasion. Oh, if I'm only going to hit two times and I've got okay accuracy, does that mean it's basically, if I'm hitting twice, is that a 50-50? Like, I'm only getting two hits, not 50. And obviously, as law of averages work, everything averages out when you have, like, you know, math interacting with each other. When you're talking about, my accuracy versus their evasion. So I feel like when you look at it from the perspective of, like, we're looking at the amount of hits per stuff, and so we have to inherently rework DR and evasion, I think it all makes sense. I agree, it doesn't seem to make sense that it basically is the same thing, but I think that we're kind of too far down into the hole of, like, they have a whole nother set of accessories for every single slot for accuracy, and I feel like they can't just go and get rid of evasion or DR and just make the defensive stat one thing. I think that's a little bit tougher because you make a lot of stuff irrelevant. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it would be kind of, there may be some future path where, yeah, there's no accuracy or whatever anymore, and it's all just like attack power stats and defensive stats. And then you could just put on whatever accessory looks cooler. Like, I don't know if they make them equivalent to each other, but I feel like you kind of eliminate a lot of like spots and stuff, and it gets kind of complex. And so I think they're just in a hole right now, but this kind of leads into the next part of the podcast, which I'll talk about when we get there for the next topic. So,
I really just don't understand what the point of making it like directly, like evasion basically will function in the same way. You need to understand that it used to be that a Shy literally functioned, Striker Mystic usually functioned on the premise that you just can't hit me. If I have enough evasion, your hit rate is just basically zero and you can't do anything to me. And now everything will hit you for like less, but everything is going to hit you. And this means that I just feel like overall, you're just going to die like way faster.
I think that that's why people need to get on the test server and test this out. If you truly, really do care about like the DR and evasion, and you're worried about maybe grinding aspects, if you're worried about PvP aspects, the biggest thing you could do is go on the servers, test it when it goes on live, and just see how it works, and then record videos and write up documents and report it. I mean, you know, we've seen PAs test functioning for things that they've newly released, and it's like, they're like, okay, here's this thing, and then we actually get to play it, and then we break it.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Did we just lose Blonde?
Blonde, you're muted.
No, Blonde literally left the call.
What?
He's just gone. He's talking to himself. Look at him. He's going. Look at him. Look at him, guys. He is literally just going. He's just keep going. Nobody tell him. Nobody tell him. Just wait till he stops talking.
Nobody tell. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody tell him.
He's still talking.
Honestly, it's just typical. Honestly, every podcast viewer got what they finally wanted. Blonde is talking, and we just turned him all the way down to nothing, and we just let him go. Yeah, I mean, like, I kind of agree with all of his points, but, like, also, he's still going, man. He's still going.
Should I put something on screen?
Crazy, no. Man. It's crazy.
Like, a text or something?
No, crazy. Let him cook. I want to kind of see how long it takes him to realize it, because, like, I thought his internet just dropped. No, I think that, like, I mean, I agree with some of his points. Like if you just removed evasion, like I kind of suggested, like, you end up, like, in a situation where the accuracy accessories just don't have as much impact, right? Like, or they just don't have a purpose in the game. So, like, it's just really weird to me that they would kind of go this way with it. Good.
I was going to say, there are, like, you know, classes that really, like, heavily, like, build into evasion, and then, you know, other classes who are more in line with, like, DR and stuff like that. So I guess that would all have to be balanced as well if they were to remove evasion, right? Like, something like a ninja would lose out on anything like evasion related. Oh, welcome back, Blonde. For the last, like, 2 minutes, you kind of you, like, accidentally left the call or something, so we did not hear anything in the last 2 minutes you were talking.
You just kept going, man. We were having a good time watching you, though. It was good.
My Discord showed me in the call. I could see you guys talking, but it was open and everything. It just, I guess, cut the... Okay. All right. So... What did you hear?
The last thing you said, we didn't hear because we don't care about anything that you say.
I was just saying that it's, you know, there's a lot of people with a lot of really good ideas, and the only way to get accurate testing is to test it. To, like, gamers are better testers than game makers, like, through and through. Mm-hmm. We've shown that through time and time again. And I just think that we have to get on the servers and test. Type up something, post it on the forums. I mean, talk to it, make videos, make recordings. That's just really the only way, because gamers are the test of time, and I think it's definitely possible to get a good change out of this. But if people don't give feedback and we just complain in, like, chats and stuff, it's mm-hmm. it's not going to get, you know, the necessary changes. I think it's definitely possible to make the system better, but we need, you know, the big mm-hmm. brains to do it. I just think it's it does feel like it's kind of boiling down to the same thing, though. It does feel kind of like, isn't this basically the same stat, and now we're just calling it whatever? I can agree with that. It does kind of feel exactly like the DR innovation are the same, but I feel like this is maybe that bridge into them merging those stats, and they're not being evasion DR, and we just having, like, again, defensive stats and attack stats, because...
Just DP, like, that's it.
Yeah, well, I feel like it was cool in the beginning to have, like, a diverse... here's mm-hmm. evasion, and, like, once the numbers came out, people started mathing evasion, because before we didn't have all those secret numbers, so, you know, people were really actually testing with builds. I remember back in the day, people trying different offhands on different classes and realizing that, like, oh, you know, these gauntlet classes can get crazy if you put mm-hmm. this weird green gear piece on them. And then once the numbers came out, we kind of saw where the math came from, and it's like, oh, okay, this is kind of insane. You know, if you're a gamer, like, right. I remember Divios back in the day, it was nuts.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say, if we weren't, so right now we can all agree that it's kind of like working like DR after the change, but, like, if it wasn't gonna work like DR, like, how would you, like, rework it if not, they're not reworking in this way, if we weren't going to merge them, but we still had to separate them, but we would want right. to, if we didn't want it like DR, like, what would it be instead, you know? Would it still just be, like, a chance to miss, or...
I'll be honest with you, I've always been for build diversity. I like the idea of build diversity, but the way that the developers have been going the last, you know, 4 or 5 years that we've all been playing the game with the Dead God updates and everything, and the artifacts, mm-hmm. honestly, like, again, we see, like, these great innovating like changes that I think make the game like super cool. Like artifacts, when they first came out, everyone was going to all the different grind spots in the game. Everyone was trying different artifact sets and trying to like min-max for their build path and what they wanted to get done. It felt like every single artifact in the game was like super viable and a lot of fun, and then you had to go grind these very specific spots to go get them. It made everybody super active, and it felt like everybody had their own like type of build. And then you fast forward to today, and you have more dead gods. Right, you have like a, like this, like you're having the convergence of DR and evasion essentially here, and you have Kabua artifacts, which basically make all of the artifacts that they've made to this date completely irrelevant.
Kind of irrelevant, yeah.
Yeah, completely irrelevant for basically every aspect of the game. What's best in camp PvP? Kabua artifacts. What's best in PvE? Kabua artifacts. What's best in small scale PvP, Kabua artifacts. Every once in a while, what's best in uncapped? Very likely still Kabuas. Like, believe it or not, still Kabuas in a lot of cases. Like, but like, yeah, in uncapped PvP, very situationally, you can like make the case that, oh, I can run evasion or I can run accuracy or whatever for my class. But like, we're trending away from that stuff, right? Like, this is like, they're just completely obliterating all types of build diversity, and we're basically all coming together on one thing, dead god weapons, right? It used to be that, oh, I can do C20 Zarka and have the same set. Not anymore, right? Like, it's Blonde Bear just left again. He hates us. But like, C20 Zarka and Blackstars, Godder, that kind of thing. But like, Blackstar, Godder, and Zarka were already starting to converge. Now we're going to have dead god weapons. Like, dead god weapons are exactly everybody. Okay, what weapon are you going? Dead god. What artifacts are you going? Kabua. What build set are you going? DR. Right? Like I don't understand, like, why keep them separated? Like, honestly, at this point, if you're going to make evasion basically the same as DR, make them the same. Make one DR stat and one AP stat, or one defensive stat and one AP stat. And it's literally just that simple. And then your accuracy artifacts, then the accuracy artifacts can do something different. They can allow you to, like, punch through more DR more efficiently, or ignore a certain percentage of the opponent's DR, you know what I mean, or something like that, you know what I mean, instead of like evasion.
Exactly what they're doing. I think that the artifacts, and I feel like when you have like an attack stat and defense stat, and then you're stuck with accuracy, DR, evasion, AP, I feel like it's too many chemicals, too many cooks in the kitchen, right? Like, I feel like I like diversity in games too, where you have different things to strive for, so it gives you more goals or different things. But I feel like it ends up being this weird rat race where if you want to be like a master of all, you're spending four times the amount of grinding compared to like someone else, and that's not really the funnest thing ever, especially if you're a PvPer and you don't like grinding. I think that when you have the ability to have like diversity through those Kabuas, like, because this is just the first stage, right? It's best in slot because it's the best. It's like Deborekas compared to previous accessories, right? But once we release four more Deborekas slots, then there's going to be better stuff. I think that's what Land of the Morning Light 2 is going to have. We're going to have probably more diverse, different, you know, better, stronger, even more artifacts. I just think that also, like, the fact that, like, this is kind of, like, I guess a good merger if they do merge these stats together to basically mean the same thing, because there's a lot of times where, like, oh, man, I really want to try out this class. I want to tag this class, but I'm a DR class and they're evasion. Like, I don't think that I'll ever be able to run it unless I completely swap my build over, so having the ability to like actually play another class that isn't on the opposite end of the spectrum from like the type of gear you have is a good thing, because it leads to more, I mean, just more playability for different classes. You know what I mean? I think that's kind of a good thing. And this is their way of kind of, yeah, basically making it the same thing before at some point they'll merge the gear again and have it different. And like I said before, I think this is what merges into the next part of the conversation. Like, if we're kind of accelerating everybody to all get Debos because it's just stronger and better than everything else, then what we can do is then make the next stage after that, because, you know, we'll at some point all just get Debos and we'll be full of Debos, and then the next stage of gear and accessories go even further beyond that to sort of modernize the non-build diversity and just the singular build again. I think that's that's what seems like is the target goal, but I mean, we don't really know till we get it, right?
Yeah,
it could even just like not even go through with their proposed idea. It is still on the Global Labs.
Yeah, so everything's a test, right? Yeah.
They might still just like go back on their word and still make evasions, you know, still percentage based.
But you have to think this
percentage
is
dodge based. Go ahead.
This is a response to the hits, and the hits is what's going to cause a lot less server lag. I mean, what was it, that test they did when they realized that when you hit somebody in War of the Roses and their buff bar showed up, that caused server lag because the amount of like what the amount of ticks per buff to show up that was automatically inputted or something. There was some weird test that they were showing, and it's like, could you imagine if we get, you know, we have to get the amount of hits removed so that there's no server lag, which is the 99% complaint about everything about any PvP at all. Could you imagine? Yeah, okay, we don't have build diversity, but we actually have playable PvP content that doesn't lag. I can't remember a siege I've gone to that hasn't lagged. Like, even when we went to, like, literally 100 man versus 100 man or whatever, it was still lagging with just two people on the freaking nodes. It's a miserable experience. And I think if this leads to a better experience, even though we lose parts of diversity, I think that's worth it because you have a funner experience.
Is there, I was gonna ask you guys, like, since DR and evasion are, you know, supposedly getting reworked, are there any other like stats you would want to see reworked in BDO? Because I don't know if we want to get into this or save this for another like podcast, but there is one stat that, you know, I think that a lot of people have a lot of strong opinions on, and it involves like, you know, heavy RNG, which is like, you know, resistances and stuff like that. I don't know if we want.
Oh my God! Somewhere so frosty. So frosty just woke up in a cold sweat.
What do you guys think about resistance?
Oh man!
True. I just want to know, just like in a small sentence. Yay or nay? What's your ideas?
I'm totally okay with resistances being removed entirely for PvP, with the exception that grabs can no longer go through like frontal guards. So like the problem with removing resistances in PvP is primarily grab resist. Let's be honest, grab resist hardly works for grab classes nowadays anyway. And usually when you see someone complaining about resistances, it's a warrior or it's a berserker or it's somebody resisting that their grab that already goes through super armor, that already goes through frontal guard, is unable to connect with a class that doesn't have a grab and doesn't have an ability that can go through all sorts of production, which is stupid. Like people that, like, if you're going to fix resistances, you can absolutely remove them from PvP, but you also need to give counterplay to grabs. So like you need to give every class, either frontal guards block grabs, or you can just say that every class has a skill, that basically avoids grab. Like, and it's not just a small little nanosecond iframe. You know what I mean? Like
I was gonna say iframe.
No, but like
if the servers were more reliable and your iframe actually iframed the grab.
Well, not a lot of classes can't even iframe the grab. Think about Awakening Witch or Wizard. You're not iframing anything.
Yeah.
Magical evasions is super armor. Sure. You only have teleport. So all they have to do is walk at you, not grab you, force you to use teleport, and then walk at you again and grab you. And that's all it is. There's no counterplay involved. It's not supposed to be fun for you. It's not interactive at all. So like the only resistance that I think people really get behind is grab resist, in a lot of cases, and then PvE. Obviously you should be able to use resistances in PvE. You should be able to stack resistances for your build. I'm totally okay with having resistances in PvE. You don't remove resistances from the game, just simply remove them from PvP and give all of the classes that don't have a grab a way to counterplay it in some way that isn't some nanosecond iframe obnoxious skill. And I think that resistances would be in a much better position there, because I would agree, when you're playing a grab class and somebody resists your grab, it feels like crap. But like also on the other side of it, if you're playing a non-grab class and you have 100% or 80% resist or whatever, and a warrior walks up to you and grabs you, it feels like crap because you like can't do anything. They have like 100% grab penetration resist, so like your resistance doesn't feel as like it can do anything. It feels like they have a trump card. They have a just I win this duel card. That's what it feels like. Like I win no matter what. You can't do anything card. Like and
having a one shot meta makes it even more like that, which is so embarrassing.
Right. Like the only counterplay to this is to teleport behind them and one shot them with a focus meteor.
Right.
Yeah, like if you're a succession staff, and that doesn't feel good. That doesn't feel good either. If you're the warrior, that feels like crap. Right. Yeah, like that sucks. It's an unhealthy state of PvP. Grabs need to be addressed, but like so do resistances. I think you give people exactly what they want. I think you remove resistances from PvP altogether. And you give the classes that don't have a way to get around a grab a counter to a grab. So if they try to grab you and hit this one button, they get CC'd instead. stuff shit. See how that works?
Yeah. Oh, you mean like Tebek necklace?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, but see, like, in this case, you actually have counterplay. It's not, oh, I got grabbed, so I hit this. The Tebek necklace was different. Tebek necklace was, I got CC'd and put on the ground, then I hit this button, and instead of me being CC'd, now you are CC'd. No, 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 it's different. This is, if you hit the button at the correct time and you predict the grab properly, it's kind of like parry in Naraka Blade Point.
A parry.
If they hit you with a blue focus attack, and you parry it at just the right moment, they're the ones that get disarmed, and you're not the one that takes the damage. Okay, it's just like that system. I think that that would be a much healthier way to approach grabs if you remove resistance entirely and you make it about the player's skill level. Like, just flat out, who is the better player? Who can who has the better reaction time, etc. Yes, better servers will help with this. That's what this hit this hit counter is going to help with. That's what centralized servers are meant to help with. Obviously, they're always going to have to deal with server lag, but every game deals with that, so it's not really an argument, right? Personally, that's the solution there. In my opinion. Jay, what do you think about it?
Yes.
What do you think about resistances in general in the game?
I like resistances in PvE because I don't like getting CC'd. I don't like getting CC'd in any case, to be honest. It tilts me. But
that's why he only does PvE and he runs 100% resist.
I agree. I'm right there with you. It's the most unfun mechanic is losing control of your character. Because we have so much control in the game over our characters, right? Every movement feels so fluid. I think that I think that as much as a person of me that likes RNG, I love RNG, I do not like RNG CCs. That's probably one of the most nonsensical things, like you said, Blue, where you could have 80% resistance and somehow they can still break through it. So all the crystals and effort and buffs and everything you use to get resistance for that then becomes irrelevant. So then if your whole build was entirely built on resisting this one thing that you know you're going to tilt you and you still can't resist it, I feel like it's probably one of the most frustrating things you can deal with in the game. So yeah, I think we all kind of are on the same page about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that overall, again, there's no room for RNG and PvP, in my opinion. I don't like RNG and PvP,
because
that's why resistances just have never worked, like, period.
There's no skill in rolling dice, right? Like, I mean, there truly is, there's no way to roll dice where you're always going to get exactly what you want every time, and I feel like that's just not really fair, especially in a game that's so, in my opinion, great about, like, players fully make their character do everything they need them to do, right? Some of the best, most talented players are the best because they know how to play their class so well and manipulate and move and do everything. And the fact that that can be taken away because resistances, so the best player in the world could all of a sudden turn garbage because they got caught up on a CC resist or whatever, is like super just kind of silly, you know what I mean? Yeah. Obviously, in talking about this, there would have to be a bunch of other changes, you know, whatever, with super armors and other things, because we can't just like completely remove it right now as the game is, because the game is built around that. But that's like a different conversation for another thing. But
no, I don't think that the game really is built around resistance. I don't think you have to make any changes to super armor frontal guards. The only classes off the top of my head that would need changes are particularly Succession Corsair, which, let's be honest, is overdue for a passive change. To like, you get 80% resistances, which are completely useless on the Succession Corsair's passive. Since they reworked resistances, that passive has not been changed at all, and Succession Corsair has suffered for it. So Succession Corsair would have to be looked at. Its passive would have to be changed and buffed in some way. Like Awakening Witch would have to be looked at, so would Awakening Wizard, and then some of the lower mobility classes in the game. But, like, I think, honestly, there's... Go ahead, Jay.
Okay, I was gonna... I don't know if this is a crazy idea, but... Have you guys ever played a little game called League of Legends? But they have this mechanic in League of Legends that's called, like, I think it's called Tenacity. And what if they rework resistances like Tenacity, where it doesn't protect you from the CC, but reduces the amount of time you get CC'd by? Like, if you had stun resist and you had 50% stun resist, it would reduce the amount of time you're stunned by 50. And that's how maybe they could rework resistances if we don't want RNG or something.
Initial problems with that I see right off the bat is, you could have a maximum tenacity and they only CC you for 0.1 seconds, but you're immediately going to follow it up with a knockdown that's going to last another second. They're just going to keep CCing you until you hit the 2 second limit. Like, it's just not going to matter. Like you can't, like, unless you decrease the cap, unless tenacity decreases the cap with which you can be CC'd, which is going to feel worse than resistances. Part of what makes resistance feel so bad outside of grab resist, that's just the initiate. A lot of people get really frustrated because they're in the middle of a combo and the other person just stands right up.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's really frustrating.
If you have, like, someone in a combo, they can resist mid combo, which then throws the whole game out. That's the problem. I don't think people have a problem with initial CCs as much as they have a problem with resistances in general, is that when you're in the middle of a combo and someone resists, because you've made that combo specifically to be able to extend and do whatever you need to do, the fact that you landed the first one, you know, is an RNG gamble in the first place, because I've seen the argument that the first CC can be resisted, but the second one should not be, especially if you're in a combo and you're already CC'd. I can 100% get behind that, because
your CC resist does not work if you're already CC'd, maybe,
right? Like everything goes to zero and you can just like infinite combo. They'd obviously have to rework down smashes and stuff like that, but I think that it's so insanely annoying to like have somebody, you got them, you're ready to take them out, and then they can resist mid combo. I think that's probably one of the most infuriating things I've seen from a lot of PvPers is what they're frustrated about. But okay, I feel like we all kind of agree and are on the same page about this
idea. Yeah, I mean, like, pivoting around, like, you talk about resistances. Do you think that accuracy needs to be changed if this evasion is going to be changed? The way that evasion is going to be changed, do you think that accuracy needs to be toned down? Again, I think that now they've made it a little too complicated for themselves. If you look at your My Stats page, if they just simplified DR and evasion to simply be DR, most of these stats go away. You'd have melee DR, range DR, magic DR, and that's it. That's all you'd have, right? I'm okay with having like the three different types. That would be way easier to explain to people. This like Excel spreadsheet of stats is obnoxious. Even for me, I'm like, okay, so wait, where's my damage to monsters at? You know what I mean? Like it's even for me, it's difficult to figure out. I think if they just, that's what they want to do anyway. It's very clear. They want to just condense it. They want to condense everything. They're on the simplification train. They've been simplifying our build paths for years. It's really obvious what build path you have to go now. Hey, guess what? You're going to get dead gods. Hey, guess what? You're going to get dead god weapons now. Hey, guess what? You're going to get Kabua artifacts. Hey, guess what? You're going to go Devarekas, right? And the super end game is to start building occasional other like accuracy artifacts and stuff. Right. Just do what you want to do. Like, make it all one simplified thing to make it easier to understand for everyone. It'll also probably make it way easier to balance because you have less numbers to work with. Now, their philosophy to this point has always been, okay, making it more complicated makes it easier to balance on our end because there's a lot of different ways in which we can adjust stuff. For example, and a lot of players don't know this, your class has specific damage modifiers when fighting other classes. For example, Dark Knight does 70% damage to Strikers and Mystics, just across the board. You're just doing, before any DR, evasion, defensive stats, offensive stats get added, take your lump sum damage and 70% it. That's it. That's just how it is, right? Witch does like 10% damage to a Shy, right? Like you do reduced or amplified damage in some cases. For example, like Dark Knights do like 115% damage to each other. Like it's stupid. Like the classes can go over the cap too. So you have Strikers doing 120% damage to Dark Knights, for example. These aren't the exact figures necessarily, but there's an entire spreadsheet that you have on this.
I think on paper that stuff looks good because you're thinking, oh, if I'm like, okay, you have really mobile class versus an immobile class. Like, I feel like they should do less damage because the other class has no counterplay. So the idea is that we reduce their damage. On paper, I think in their head it looked good, but in reality and how it actually works in the game is like so not the play. It's like completely not, I think, what they intended, and they've just kind of left it because because every other number's balanced on that, and I think they don't know how to.
It was there because
streamline it, I guess.
It was there because for a time they thought that they might want to have some classes counter other classes. And if they wanted to go that way, this is a very easy way for them to just adjust those numbers. But like, Let's be and honest, these numbers haven't...
Have they ever?
No, they have not adjusted right, those numbers. Except for, yeah. I'll be honest, Striker and Mystic got adjusted probably 4 or 5 times. When they came out yeah. the first time, I'm pretty yeah. sure that Darknet was doing, like, it was something like 50% damage to mm-hmm. a Striker Mystic, yeah. and that was before all of their evasion passives and before their DR that they innately had on their passive against magic damage. So essentially mm-hmm. what ended up happening with Dark Knights is you ended up giving them HP. At yep. the end of the day, like it was really bad, and they've adjusted it like a number of times since then. But like again, all of those class modifiers are just an added layer of balance that I think doesn't need to really be in the game.
At this point,
I think that all of that needs to be wiped away, and they need to adjust. And they need to simplify it just down to DR accuracy artifacts go through or accuracy. Goes through DR at a certain percentage, like you can ignore a certain percentage of your opponent's damage or like, you know, like DR or whatever. And like, yeah, like they can just adjust the class passives and basically make the same thing happen. I don't like
should we maybe also simplify, like, you know how there's ranged AP, melee AP and magic AP. Should they just like consolidate that as well?
No, I think those that those three are fine. I think that would be really hard to kind of
because when you nerf change like, damage in certain cases, you want to be able to target like, oh, for example,
range damage.
Range classes are going crazy right now because of some other random balance change. Or this like DR evasion rework where they're going to be like, okay, we should probably tone down specifically the range damage because archers are just insane right now or something like that. I feel like that's it's like they should keep it separate because then they can adjust those damage numbers across the board, right? But it just depends on how attentive they are to that stuff. I think they definitely, you know, this could be a good change, the DR evasion rework, where it's a lot more simple so that players can, like they're already doing, just hopping in and going down the main gear path that you'd go anyways. And the only time it really matters is if you're at end game and you want to grind out a whole nother set of accessories and a whole nother set of gear and your gear swaps, which in essence gives some players, some crazy end game players, something to do. But even me, as someone who loves grinding, I'm not even interested in going and doing that. I don't want to ever be incentivized to have to grind a whole second gear set, because that to me just sounds like... Like, one's enough. Like, do we really need another? Let it be through other things. Like I was saying earlier, like Kabua artifacts or Blue, you were saying earlier, where you have ones that are like more penetration or more of this or more of that. And, you know, they could do diversity in other ways that are easier and more simplified and not requiring you to grind a whole second gear set, or do some weird path where you're getting another double ear so you can get the ring so that your belt is a swap out or this is a swap out. You know, I think it's easier to do it in other ways, and having you make a whole new gear set just makes it complex for tagging, makes it complex for many other forms of the game. And we want simplification so people have an ease of access to the game to get more players, right?
I think you can simplify and still give people build diversity, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think the way to give people build diversity is in like the enchantments.
Right.
Keep in mind, I'm not saying enchantments. In the enchantments for your gear, like Garmoth,
or cups or
whatever, you can definitely give more build diversity for that. You could give more build diversity for artifacts, or a solid way to do that as well. Like while maintain, and then like again, I'm not sure if accessories like. Raw like themselves necessarily need to be
the way to go.
Yeah, are the way to go. There's a lot of build diversity, but I like having like even the accessories. Like it's the weapons and the armor are already standardized. We're all doing the same thing, right? Like I think that having different accessories that you can build, artifacts, and then cups and stuff that you can add is totally fine. I don't think it deters anyone from playing the game whatsoever. People are still on a very like crisp build path early game, and then into the late game where they want to take the game more seriously, they absolutely can. So, like, I don't really mind having artifacts, accessories, enchantments for cups and weapons and stuff. Like, we don't have anything for our main hand, right? It would be cool to have, like, an accuracy or, like, maybe an AP add-on or something, like, anything like that for the main hand. That would be pretty cool. And then one that you could choose and it wasn't just necessarily added to your stats. Like, okay, everybody does this. Would be great. I think that like you could absolutely standardize DR and evasion into one thing and still have this level of build diversity that people kind of want to go for.
Yeah, they could.
Yeah, which kind of go ahead.
I was just gonna say one final word. I guess if you guys like the new changes they're talking about, then you can go and test them on the test server and put feedback towards that. But if you're looking at like full AP or full DP and we're conglomerating all the stats, I mean that feedback could be good as well. So.
I'm gonna keep it a buck. I don't feel like you can really test it on the Global Lab. I think that's a joke. That's the problem, and that's a huge problem with our game.
Real.
You cannot test.
It's a real test.
You can't test damage. You can't test tankiness. You can't test anything on the Global Labs. Everything is foobarred. Everything is completely messed up. I've tried to do it many times. There's clips of like Biseptimus and various other streamers who are testing, or Frosty and stuff, who are testing damage in the Global Lab, and the skill like one shots people on the Global Labs, and then it gets to live and it doesn't do any damage at all. You just can't test the Global Labs, and this is a massive problem for our game. There's no testing on the Global Labs. We are going to get these changes, and the only time we're going to be able to give feedback is when it comes live, and that's going to be the time to give feedback, because again, the Global Labs is basically a waste of time. Like, I'm just I hate to say it, like, they try to encourage people to use the Global Labs. Well, then you need to fix whatever is wrong with the damage on the Global Labs. That's the biggest problem.
Yeah, then whenever the changes do come, then people just need to be vocal. If they want one unified stat to make it just simplified so it's not a problem, or if we, you know, if you do have comments or concerns about the DR evasion rework, then people just got to be active and talk about it. But I think it goes hand in hand with the amount of hits, and I think that's like almost a second question. You know what I mean? Like, that's a second test. Like, that should almost be done, and then we could see other stuff. But I feel like it's, they have to do it at the same time because the game will be really messed up. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's frustrating. It is frustrating. Yep, before we run out of time today, though, there's other stuff on the Global Labs too. That I'm sure you guys are excited to talk about. The Debereka ring, which I thought that we were not gonna get until like the Heidel Ball.
That was fast,
right?
It's I'm on the like Global August, Labs. I'm like,
got plenty of time. No, it's coming soon.
It's coming.
What the?
Did I spell Debereka right? I don't know. I'm just gonna put Debereka. Okay, I start saying it right, and now, honestly, you know what, Blonde? Leave the call again. Nobody listens to you anyway. All right, what are your guys' thoughts on the Debo ring? I think I theory-crafted, when I did my gear guide, I theory-crafted the best in slot, like, 5-set effect. There is a 5-set effect for Debereka coming through. It's, so you're going to have the 3 and the 5-set effect. I'm curious what you guys think as the PvE lords, and that's kind of where it's going to matter in most cases.
Hello.
What do you think the best build is with the Debos?
Accessory-wise?
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably the 2 rings, the necklace, belt, 1 earring, and depending on if you're grinding Kama or just a non-Kama spot, Narc for Kama and Odie, and then Disto for everywhere else is what I'm thinking.
Blonde, how do you feel about it? I've heard that the belt is the most cost efficient sacrifice. You're gonna go for accuracy.
Sacrifice the belt.
When it comes to any build diversity, people are going double ear, double belt, or sorry, double ear, double ring, and then the necklace is just too strong and too good to swap out with anything. There's no question about it. It's like why that's the first one you go for out of everything. It looks like it, and even the tets are like a really nice thing to sit on for a while. Like, I feel like the play is going to be getting 2 tet rings and then just working on a third one, because the 2 tets are a pen tungrad, and that's, I mean, most people are sitting on crescents right now, so it's a flat 3 AP upgrade on both, right? And then you basically, whenever you get the chance to go for pen on it, you can take your time and slap on that. So yeah, I think
I saw this play. I saw this really interesting build where someone built 1 tungrad necklace, 1 tungrad belt, 1 tungrad earring, and then 2 Debo rings, 1 Debo earring. So you get the 3 set from both of tungrads and Debo, and then you run 2 BSR artifacts and you can reach 200 BSR while also maintaining the 3 set. I don't know if that was, it was just an interesting idea that.
Let's back up for a minute.
If you so still running to do the 200.
So where are they running the tungrads at?
A necklace, belt, and earring, and then 2 Debo rings and 1 Debo earring. And then you run the BSR artifacts and you can reach 200 BSR with a 3 set Debo.
Oh,
which
that's
is an interesting idea.
Oh, you say interesting, I say garbage. Running a tungrad earring is probably the worst idea I've ever heard. Tungrad earrings about 6 years ago were definitely BIS before the Disto came out. And then even after Disto came out, tungrads were not necessarily a bad option for a while. But like, as the game has kind of progressed and you have other options, tungrad earrings a thing of the past, man. You don't ever wear one of those. Not at any point in your build do you ever wear a tungrad earring. I don't know. How do you feel about it, Blonde?
I mean, it'd be cool if you know, BSR.
I think Giga Buff BSR, you know.
In PvE. You know, if I could go in and use a 200 on a pack, it doesn't have a 30-minute cooldown, and it one-shots a full Olin's pack. I mean, that sounds pretty boss, but that's not what happens. So
yeah, that's
they'd
not,
have to rework that. That would be pretty sick. I'm thinking about maybe doing that if they change some things.
They are.
Can you imagine?
They are reworking the 200s, but I highly doubt that that's the direction that they're going to go with them. I think that they're really only going to focus on PvP for those. And yeah. Although it could be usable in PvE, it's definitely way more efficient to just use your 100% over and over again with a better build.
And do you guys even use your like 15, 25, 30% BSRs on like PvE anyways? Like I thought it was such a cool system when it came out. And I was like, dude, this is going to be sick. And then like... I don't think I've ever used any of them.
Oh, no, it's complete garbage. In PvE, it's garbage.
It's such a cool concept. Like, oh, you don't have to burst your 100%.
Well, it's a PvP thing. PvP. I mean, yeah. There's plenty of classes that use their partials for PvP. Archer, Mewa, Valkyrie, Warrior. Like, there's a lot of classes that use the partials. I think the partials are a pretty well-done system overall. To PvP, be honest, it's just a PvP thing. It's not a PvE. Not everything can be PvE.
No, true. I just think that, yeah, whenever you're looking at PvE and it comes to BSR, it's like, all right, there's my buff for 30 seconds to a minute. All right, cool. That's about all it's really useful for, is like your speed buff. So, yeah. I mean, I don't think everything has to be relevant in every situation. I think that if they're the whole purpose of them and to balance them is for PvP, I think that's totally fine and they don't need to be PvP-centric things. It's just interesting, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So with Deboreka rings now, like what do you think is after Deboreka ring? Is there going to be something
that's a
more
good
than
question.
Deboreka rings?
I was hoping at the ball that we were going to get some sort of like inclination as to where the armor and like the DP was going to kind of go next, because see, we all already have all four armor pieces now. So like, what's the next step? Yeah. Right. And we got nothing. And like the dead god weapons are going to come out, but see now they're backed into a corner. Now we need to know what the next gear progression for our gear is going to be. I want to know what their next like idea. So like they introduced the idea of dead god armors about what 4 or 5 years ago, and we've been living on that for the last 4 or 5 years. And like this is the direction that they chose to go because they realized very quickly, hey, this coffer system was stupid. We're idiots. We're only going to require C10 instead of C20 because the original plan was to make everybody get C20. And then they realized that there's not enough of these little Easter eggs to go around on the server and they can't infinitely inject into the market. This was just a poor idea from the beginning. They literally acknowledged that. And so then we only got C10 and we went straight into Dead God from there. But like Dead God was kind of how you were supposed to enhance your gear. And now we have Dead God weapons. Like, okay, what's the next step after Dead God, whether it be armor or weapons? Where are we going? Like with this, like, what's your next thing? Is it going to be something like the coffers where you get up again? Is it going to be like the Dead God, which seemed to work like reasonably well? Are we going to like tailgate things even further? Is there only going to be one like armor set for everything? Or are we going to go like a second? Are we going to go more complicated? Whole second gear wheel. You know what I mean? Like, who knows? I'm curious what they're going to kind of come out with, because I feel like they have to address this at this ball. Otherwise, we're going to go for 6 months and it's over. Okay. Most people are going to finish the game, right? Like we're talking about Tet Fallen God. They're going to get their Tet Fallen God weapons. Let's be honest. It's not going to take them incredibly long. And then that's it. If you don't have like something somewhere to push these people, there's not going to be any reason for them to log into your game anymore. And these are your most dedicated players. Like you've got to give them something to do. So like, I'm interested to see what kind of development path, that they're going to kind of take here. Do you guys have any ideas? I know it's a little bit on the spot. Do you guys have any ideas where you think they might want to go, whether it be for accessories, armor, or weapons, like what you guys would kind of want to see with that?
So I was thinking, so if they were to go past Dead God, right, that would move the game more like raise the ceiling vertically more, right, to expand the game more vertically. But I was thinking maybe they could also expand the game more horizontally. And so maybe like the kind of gear power creep that would maybe we would see would be like class specific items that may not be, you know, strictly more powerful than Deboreka's or something like that, or whatever gear we have, but might offer like new mechanics for the class. Like we've seen them add items like Tebek belt that grant a whole new ability in a separate section of the player's skill window. So it's possible for them to add stuff like this. So maybe, for example, an accessory that grants a second core skill for Awakening's classes, or an accessory that allows you to take both Rabam skill options or something, or maybe an accessory or item that reduces the cooldown of certain skills by a certain amount. You know, stuff like that that changes the mechanics of the class slightly to offer more playstyle choices. And then, you know, that's where maybe we are after Slumbering Origin weapons in terms of, you know, gear power creep. So that would be my idea on the spot. What about you, Blumbear?
I think that, you know, the acceleration of everybody pushing into Devos, this like FOMO 6 to 7 month window of hammers. And then we got the, you know, the new enhancement system where we can like basically have the ability to succeed after a ton of fails. Mm-hmm. I think that this is all just leading them into pushing and sort of pigeonholing everybody into getting this. This is the new standard, right? Although it's a lot of grinding, it's all like, oh, this is reachable because I have a determined end goal. It's not like some infinite grind. It's a lot of grinding, but it's to get players in. And I think this is why they kind of accelerated the Devo ring, because I swear, like, it felt like Devo wasn't going to be coming out to the summer or like July or August. Like June, July, August is what I was thinking for Devo rings, and now it seems like it's coming. I mean, it's coming sort of at July, just like a week or two earlier, right? June, July, I mean. Just feels like it's coming like a month or two before or ahead of schedule. And I think this is just to also get, you know, because this is like a majority of the player base is in this like sort of push into Devos and then push to finish your Devo grind. But I think the hammers were targeted for. And so pushing your player base into all this, then you have your end game players who have already tapped all this, or they got lucky on their hammers and they tapped it immediately. And now they're like, okay, well, what am I going to do? Devo rings are coming out. So you have as much, I think most of your player base playing right now, because the hammers expire, right? To FOMO it out. And I think that what this basically means is that they're going to have another stage. I don't think they're just going to like be like, all right, everybody's got Devos, and now we're all equalized, so we're good. Everybody's happy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to chase anything anymore. And I don't think that's realistic. I think that what really is going to happen is, during either this summer ball, or maybe they're going to announce it by the end of the year or something like that, there's going to be another stage, right? It's obviously convenient that November is when the hammer's supposed to expire, right? I think that's like the end date to be like, all right, guys, you got till November to hurry up and get all this. We gave you thousands of hammers. They're sitting on the market, grind and buy, hit as many pen devos as you can. Because starting December, when they do the bowl and all the stuff they've been working on already is coming out for the next year, I think that's going to be the new quote-unquote progression path. Because what, every endgame player that's sitting at full pen Devo right now, like, for example, you and I, Jay, you know, we're looking at Devo rings. And some people, I mean, grind for a whole year and still can't get more than a single Devo, if even that, right? So I feel like now setting up two slots for you to fill up by the rest of the year, we're getting this change in the next few weeks to a month, right? That gives you six months up to November, December to finish your build before the new changes get announced. Then you'll have like a rest period till those changes come out. I think that's just going to be the natural flow. Now, what that's going to be is complex, because we're also getting the new weapons, and I don't know if this is going to be one of those things where it's like, okay, we really like, for example, the way that Fallen God works is you have, you know, Pry is automatic for basically everybody. Duo is what like the early to mid game people strive for. Try is what you're getting to late game striving for. And then Ted is what all the end game Andes are sitting on. Yeah. And then Pen is if you just have a bunch of money to waste. And I feel like I don't know if the weapons are going to be like that. Because if they are, then it's just going to be like, oh, okay, we get Tet weapons. That's easy because of all the stuff you stacked up, and that's going to be it, right? I don't know if they're going to change the formula. I don't know if they're going to do something. They could go into that ideal. Mm-hmm. If they basically make the Fallen God rates for the weapon the same as the armor, then we already know what the standard's going to be. People are going to be clicking it day one, and it's going to be over with once the grind's over. So then the only thing really left is the next stage of accessories. They're going to announce maybe another like a red tier quality, or like a Fallen God equivalent, or something where it's like, here's a whole new set of stuff, and here's the content we're going to release slowly as we get to it, which leads into the new area after Land of the Morning Light, which is the demon zone, Alieli. Like, if that zone is the thing that comes out, and that's what's going to be where all these corrupted, like they could do all this cool thematic stuff, like corrupted accessories, like a corrupted Devo ring, or a corrupt, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be a new thing. It could be something we already like have, like I said, the Devo Rekkas. It could just be that, but a corrupted version, and it doesn't even have to be another accessory.
You just reform stone it.
Reform stone it, right? It's another drop that then adds to your gear, so that way everybody's going Debo, and then everybody can reform stone it to whether they want to go accuracy or AP or whatever, and we basically cupify the next stage of gear so that your gear doesn't feel irrelevant. You're not replacing it, you're just working on top of the systems we already have, which makes it so that the old stuff is still relevant, all the Debo spots, because you need to get your Debos, and then you do the reformation stuff in the new expansion so that all that old content doesn't get completely wiped out when we have a new tier of accessory where, oh, I'm only going to the new area and I'm just gonna smash my head against the mobs and that's what's happening. So yeah, I think that's what we're looking at. Sorry for the essay, but
no, you're totally fine.
I've thought about it for a very long time.
You're good. Yeah, I'm not really sure what they're gonna do, to be honest with you. I'm intrigued with the ball. I kind of want to see it in person. That if they mess it up, I'm right there to yell at them in
get
person.
The notepad out and be like, oh my god.
Let's take it from the top. Rapalus, tell me what you've done to this guy. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, I'm not really sure what they're going to do. I'm interested to see how it's going to turn out in the future. I do want to touch on this briefly. We kind of want to hold off most of the discussion for next week, where I hope Divius might be able to join us, which is the node war disaster that is currently happening in Korea. Korea got the node war changes, and I looked at the node war. I reviewed the node war myself through Hugh Hotbar's stream, and that video will be up on my YouTube probably tomorrow. If I had to guess, it'll come out in the morning. Guys, it's looking really bad. I'm gonna be honest with you. He went through all six regions and not a single region was fighting. Serendia, there was like a small fight, but like they forgot that one of the guilds had a fort, right? They had two flame towers on the same side. And initially I was ridiculing them because their FTs were right next to each other and they don't cover the whole fort. And it was stupidly built. But then their fort died and the flame towers didn't go away. So the guys in the flame towers just looked at each other and they were like, okay. So they just killed the fort. They just sprayed the fort down. like they literally, the new guild had the fort. They couldn't even defend it. They couldn't do anything because the FTs were just shooting the fort the whole time. And like this is like obviously a huge problem, but that's not the only big problem. There just wasn't a whole lot of fighting. Like, yeah, that was clearly like they can fix that, but like there just wasn't a whole lot of people fighting. And on the Korean Node War server, I understand that Node War scene is basically dead as it is, but like this was meant to kind of try to revive it. And like, this is as exciting as it's going to get. And there were maybe 40 people on the entirety of Balanos. And with 12 forts. So like, and chat brought up an interesting idea to me, which is like, so the number of forts that spawn is at like basically exactly half the number of guilds that are there. So what you can do is you can just bring a lot of dummy guilds and just have them drop sticks and then like make sure that they die 100 times so that they don't get locked out. And then you just take the fort, you just get a note every week or every day. And there's really no way around that considering the system that they've currently built. Like, there's really just no way to get around that problem. And, like, it's an excellent problem. Like, I think that, like, in North America, as far as things go, I try not to be, like, really doom and gloom about it. But, like, I think that, like, the Balanos Serendia, I think T1, T2 is going to be probably just fine. I think it's probably going to be fun. But I think that as you move up, it's going to be less fun because there's going to be less guilds. I think in order to make a system like this work, you need the maximum number of guilds. And I'm sorry to say it, but the alliance system probably needs to be rethought. Basically, top to bottom, it probably needs to be reverted to what it was before, which is 100-man max, which I know is probably would uproot a lot of the current guilds and what they have kind of going on in their communities. But, like, I just don't see it working with the current amount of node war guilds. Even in North America and EU have a very healthy amount of guilds. I just don't see the fights panning out. I feel like, you know, you're going to see Cho, Digi, Corrupt take forts, and then everyone else is just going to leave. Or you're going to bring enough, extra guilds that you're going to be able to take a fort yourself. Like, I don't know. There's just too many ways to exploit it. It looks like there are a lot of bugs. There are some game breaking bugs that have it completely delayed on KR right now. So like, I'm sure that they're working on those, but like it did not have a very good debut, off the bat. And I'm sure that we will get them. I'm stunned that they allowed them to release in KR before we got them. Is kind of stupid. We've been through this before. Stop using KR as the test server. Use You should launch it like and say like, hey, this is the temporary like playtest week, and make it like an event, right? Everybody across worldwide is gonna do Node Wars, and we're gonna see how it goes, right? Mm-hmm. And then they take it off for a week or whatever, and then like they receive feedback, they try to fix stuff, and then they try it again, right? Like that system kind of works at least a little bit better. Only trying it in KR only gives you such a dogmatic narrow view of what the rest of the world is going to look like. Node Wars in every server look different. The Node Wars in Asia look different than Japan, look different than North America, look different than South America, certainly look different than console. So like, it's strange to me that they would again release content only in KR as a playtest when KR is the one struggling. If it's going to work, like if it's going to work anywhere, it's probably not going to be there. Like, I hate to be that guy, but like, it's got to work here before it's going to work there, because our Node War scene isn't dead. Because quite frankly, we don't have horrible people running our Node War scene. Like, like we have people that actually genuinely like give a crap about trying to get a fight running our Node War scene. KR doesn't. That's the biggest
like
problem.
I like the idea
that
of creating it into an event, like maybe incentivize it. Like, hey, like if you help us with this test event, you know, we'll give you 1 bill silver for like, you know, joining to help test us, to help us make the game better.
Essentially, right? What they already do with other game modes right now, right? Like, oh, do the guild league, you get this much this or this or that. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way to do it.
Yeah,
I'm just curious if Korea's moving just away from like a majority of their players liking that side of the game, and then just like, you know, I'm curious if they just continue to not like it or not like the changes, or everything that ever comes out they're just going to pout on and not like, and then PA is just going to be like, well, I guess we got to change the game completely for just this one region to the rest of the regions. It's like, at what point would they realize like, hey, maybe these players just aren't interested in any of this stuff, and there's too many of these players that are just going to ruin it anyways, so like we just maybe make it for other regions.
Yeah, I'm
like,
curious,
is that a point where they're going to reach?
Yeah, I'm curious what Divios is going to say about it when we have him on, assuming I am, of course, going to be here next week. But we will do, we got to do our outro and closing thoughts. We are fresh out of time. We kind of went over a little bit today. So let's do outro. Let's do outro and closing thoughts. Let's start clothing thoughts.
Clothing thoughts.
Sorry, it's on the mind. You know, you're staring at mystics. Blonde, let's hear your closing thoughts first.
Closing thoughts. We'll see. kind of with everything we talked about, it's a we'll see situation, and the only way to get true feedback is, I mean, kind of like what Blue said, the test servers really just aren't really the way to test. But when it does come out, make sure you give feedback. Make sure you're not just complaining somewhere.
Yeah.
Have good, because P has always been about constructive feedback. So write up your thoughts, compare it, talk to people, talk about things. And, you know, from there, we can kind of hopefully get some good, relevant changes. It's just, you know, people have to collect their thoughts and put it in the right places, I think.
I'm sorry. The shy almost killed me. I'm crying right now. That's how I picture most shy mains. I'll be honest with you. Blonde, you want to give yourself a shout out?
Oh, twitch.tv/blondebear, where I'm, you know, I'm chilling and grinding Olens on a scholar.
Yeah.
Doing some normal Olens. Like I said, when the Debo rings come out, I feel like you just kind of have to go to, you're going to have to go back to the Olens. Yeah. And then I think in my free time, we're probably going to be grinding Tungrad, because it's kind of a 2-for-1. You build your stack and you build your accessories. So we'll see on these drop rates. I'm really actually curious about the drop rates, what that's going to look like. So we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah, we will see. Yeah. Jay?
Yeah, closing thoughts is that it does seem like the only kind of fights we like in BDO now is fighting monsters instead of fighting people. So maybe we should just have PvE Node Wars and just call it a day, you know?
Let's go. So...
But my name is Jaykun of VT, V before the T. You can find me at twitch.tv/JaykunVT, V before the T.
Right on. And I am Blue Squadron. Yeah. There is always something happening on my channel. This week, probably the most important thing that's going to be happening is on Thursday. I'm in OTK's next top streamer competition. And we are, let's see. So every week they eliminate 2 people and hundreds of streamers started. And we are now down to 6. And so this week they will eliminate another 2. And my understanding is that the winners of this week get to go to Austin, Texas, to hang out with the big boys and compete for the final prize, which is, of course, $50,000. And like basically, again, a chance to rub shoulders with the biggest, some of the biggest names in content. So kind of a big week for me this week. Big presentation to do on Thursday. It will be at about 1 or 2 p.m. in the afternoon Central Standard Time. On my channel here again, the entire community, my entire community can go ahead and vote for me when it happens, but you have to vote in the moment. So you have to be watching live and you have to vote when it happens. So, I'd appreciate it if you guys supported me for that. Aside from that, we always have two new YouTube videos every single day. We've been keeping up with that. We stream every single day of the week, except for Wednesday and Sunday, typically, unless my power's out like it was this week. Yeah, we have such a great time from all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast. Make sure that you guys give us a comment on the video. Interact with it so that we can see what you guys want to hear from us, who you might like to have on the show, ideas and such like this, as we like to discuss these things potentially in the future shows at as well. Remember, our podcast is always on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well. So you can always check us out there. Just make sure you hit that follow button. From all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast, have a great rest of your week.